This WBEZ podcast is supported by Wise, the app for international people using money around the globe. With the Wise account, you can send, spend, and receive in up to 40 currencies with only a few simple taps. Download the Wise app today or visit wise.com. Terms and conditions apply. Be smart. Get Wise.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Registered nurses at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago today have filed a petition with the National Labor Relations Board. They want to have a union election. Nursing labor groups say this is the city's largest filing on record for a union election in the healthcare sector. Keely Binion has been an RN at Rush for 40 years and says forming a union will not only benefit nurses, but also could help patients.
We need people to advocate for our patients. The best way to do that is just to have a seat at the table, to look at our policies and to have some input in how that is articulated in practice.
Rush issued a statement saying it is aware of the petition filing and will discuss it with the nursing team over the next several weeks. Some Democratic lawmakers in Illinois want more oversight over hospitals so they're better prepared in case they close. My colleague Kristen Schorsch reports State Senator Laura Fine has proposed a bill to require hospitals to file plans with the state in case they stop or suspend services. These plans would say how to transfer patients, among other things.
The state is really stepping up to make sure that our hospital system is strong and that people are able to get the care that they need.
This comes as West Suburban Medical Center in Oak Park abruptly closed. More hospitals could be next as the federal government is making major changes to how hospitals are paid. Fine also wants more financial transparency from for-profit hospitals like West Suburban. A powerful hospital lobbyist says some of the information Fine wants is already reported to the state. A new bill would increase the number of students who qualify for cheaper in-state tuition by loosening strict residency rules. The Illinois House today passed that measure. Provisions in the bill would help students who moved out of state, have complicated living situations, or are non-citizens who want to establish permanent citizenship. The bill now heads to the state Senate. And after seemingly turning a corner in their first home series of this new season, the White Sox are back to their losing ways. They were swept this week by the Baltimore Orioles. The White Sox mustered only 6 runs across the 3 games, and the bullpen blew leads in 2 of those 3 losses. Sox manager Will Venables says the series wasn't all bad, even though it was a sweep.
Tough series. I thought we played all right, you know, and I think there was a lot of good stuff. We saw a lot of more strike throwing. We continued that trend where we were able to navigate whatever walks we did throw out there. But, overall a series where there's some good stuff to take away, a lot of stuff that we got to continue to clean up and get better.
The White Sox now hit the road to face Kansas City for a 4-game series. You're listening to The Rundown. As the U.S. and Iran maintain an uneasy ceasefire, there are growing concerns about the Trump administration's language when justifying its actions in the war. Earlier this week, the president talked about wiping out an entire civilization. That kind of rhetoric is drawing criticism from religious leaders, including Pope Leo XIV and Cardinal Blaise Supich, who heads the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. He sat down with my colleague, Michael Puente.
Cardinal Supich, this past Sunday, Pope Leo celebrated his first Easter Mass with a call to lay down arms and seek peace through dialogue. And just hours later, President Trump posted a message on his Truth Social platform in which he used a profanity to threaten Iran if they did not open the Strait of Hormuz, saying, quote, "You'll be living in hell." What did you make of those two very different Easter messages?
Well, I think the Holy Father, in fact, responded to that threat by saying it was totally unacceptable. And many people throughout the world echo those sentiments. And I think the Holy Father is calling on all warring parties put aside their weapons, not just in the Middle East, but also with the conflict that we have in Ukraine and with Russia and the war that's being fought throughout the different places of the world. Diplomacy and dialogue have to be the pathway forward for a genuine peace. Peace can be imposed by force. It never works.
Cardinal, that same day, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth compared the rescue of a downed pilot to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Previously, he referenced the Crusades, the 11th century Christian invasion of the Holy Land. How do you feel when you see Hegseth cite biblical references and scripture to justify his actions in Iran?
Well, first of all, we're all very pleased and rejoiced that the pilot was rescued and is able to receive treatment for injuries that he received. And I think we're all united in that. It's not the first time that political leaders have tried to compromise scripture and the word of God for their own purposes. And I think most people see through that. It seems to me to be a pretty weak argument if that's the stretch you have to make in order to justify your actions.
Cardinal, there are millions of Catholics in the United States and, of course, here in Chicago. What do you say to those Catholics who support what the president is doing and may even see it as a holy war?
So I think that, you know, Catholics are not a monolith. We shouldn't be treated as some sort of political bloc, and it's a mistake to do that. I think we've learned that over the years. What we're trying to do, the Holy Father and I and others are trying to do, is to give our people language to understand what's happening, because the language that's being used today is a language of domination, of military force, of America caring only about itself. And there is another language that is more anchored in our faith tradition that has to do with the respect for human dignity, the pursuit of the common good, but also the importance of uniting the human family in a peaceful way going forward. It's very clear that those themes are often ignored in some of the language that's being used by political leaders, and we want to make sure that we recover that for our people.
Are you concerned about the Catholic Church in the United States being viewed as anti-American because of Pope Leo's critical comments about the war?
I think that it's important to note that America has always been a country in which different views are expressed. That is the First Amendment that we have that protects that free speech. And we're better off when we listen to the voices of each other. That's what dialogue is about. When, in fact, we go ahead and make decisions based solely on our ability to impose our will and dominion over another, then we close off those voices that might give us a better perspective, a fuller perspective of what we need to do. So I think that it's at the heart of democracy that people who have solid reasons for opposing a particular policy speak up. We're being patriotic when we do so.
Cardinal, parishioners often attend church to help them get through troubled times and as a sort of respite from the real world. How are you able to provide a comforting, positive message while also addressing what is happening outside the sanctuary walls?
Well, we have used the opportunities of worship to help people understand and make sense of what's happening in life. I did that on Ash Wednesday as we gathered in prayer for the beginning of Lent and gave people an understanding of how they should look at this moment in terms of the enforcement of immigration. We had over 3,000 people at an outdoor mass, and I'm told that the remarks that I made were very comforting and supportive of people. I would also note that during the Easter holidays, we had larger crowds than ever and an influx of people coming into the church, 20% over last year. So people are listening to what the church has to say and are deeply troubled about what's happening in the world.
Cardinal, if the ceasefire doesn't hold and the war continues, what will your message be in your next sermon?
My expression would be along the side with the Holy Father has said, namely, that we have to go back to the table of diplomacy and sit down with each other across the table and look for a pathway forward. One cannot bring about peace simply by dominating force, by bombing. That never works. So we want solutions that will have a lasting impact on the peace and security of the world. So if things fall apart, then it's a time to start the negotiations and the discussions over again, rather than creating a situation that entrenches people in their opinions and gets us nowhere.
Cardinal Blaise Cupich is head of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. He spoke with my colleague, Michael Puente. weather, a sunny, warm day, high in the upper 60s, and then showers and thunderstorms tonight. Some could be heavy, a low in the mid-40s. Friday, rain in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, high near 50. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labus. Thank you for listening.